Luke chapter 10, verse 30. Hallelujah. Holy Father, just speak through me your oracles, Father. Let every breath I breathe from this moment on be your breath. Let it breathe life into the hearers, Father. Life into the hearers. Hallelujah. Luke 10:30. I love this story, and it came out on Sunday, and I knew that I'm to share it here on Thursday. A certain man, everybody say certain man. Went down from Jerusalem to... Oh, we're going to have fun with this one. This thing is so deep. You better get your scuba gear on. Can I take you past Sunday school? Can I? Can I take you past the obvious? Maimonides says this. He wrote... The majority of the Talmud, he translated the majority of the Talmud, a great scholar, a great man. He said, God forbid that we would mistake the sum total of what God has said only by what is written. God forbid that we would only see what is written, but that we would have eyes to see what was not written. Maimonides said this, God help us to see the meaning and the purpose by which it's written. That we bypass the written. These written words can trip you up. These written words were written like that so that if you wanted to, you could be deceived, you could be tripped up. So if you weren't the called and the chosen and the faithful, you wouldn't be able to discern and hear what is really being said. You would just go on with the obvious 30-fold. And then 60-fold is where we applied it to our own life the way we wanted it to say. Oh, we went through a whole realm of 60-fold where it was bless me. So everything we read, if it had to bless me or it wasn't God. But the 100-fold realm is even meatier than that. Where it's really nothing about you. It's all about him. That's where we're going. I'm excited about it. Certain man. Everybody say certain man again. That's important. Went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell amongst thieves, stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. Oh, my God. We're going to have fun with this. And by chance there came down a certain priest, by the way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. Aren't you glad? When he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him, binding up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. Set him on his own beast, brought him to the inn, took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave it to the host. And he said unto him, take care of him. And whatever you spend more, when I come again, I will repay you. Which of these three thinks thou wast a neighbor unto him who fell amongst thieves? Certain man. Let's go beyond the obvious. Okay? Let's go a little beyond the obvious that you were bleeding and dying on the Jericho. And he poured in the oil. And can we go beyond that? Y'all don't even know what oil and wine is. You just know it's a good song, and he said it. Red letter. I'm just kind of waiting because I want to be sure that we're all going to go as deep as I want to go. I don't know if I'm going deep, but I sense, you know, God don't show me what to preach. I mean, it's obvious to me. He just give me a subject and say, let's dive into this and see what happens. And according to your hunger is the depth of the word. There are no such thing as good preachers in America. Just hungry people. Because, man, you can suck water out of a rock if you're thirsty. Come on now. You can cause water to come out of a rock if you're thirsty enough. You can cause manna to come out of heaven if you're hungry enough. You can cause the ravens to come down and feed you if you're hungry enough. Oh, y'all ain't ready to have church yet. Certain man. And certainly he means any man, but I believe he means a certain man. Certain man. Every time the Bible says certain man, you need to try to figure out who that man is. And we always look at it as any man, which is true. It applies to anybody. But the deep seed and the meat of what's here on these bones is that it's a certain man, and we got to find out who that man is. A certain man went from Jerusalem to Jericho. Are you with me? Can I take this button off? I mean, now I'm here. I already impressed you or depressed you. One. Went from Jerusalem to Jericho. This gives us more insight to who this man is. There's a certain man that went from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jerusalem to Jericho. Hebrews 12 says this. You are come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, unto the heavenly Jerusalem, unto innumerable company of angels, and to the church of the firstborn. Galatians 4 says, Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. There was a certain man that was coming from Jerusalem to Jericho, coming from the heavenly place to Jericho. Are you with me? There's a certain man coming from the heavenly dimension. Jerusalem is the mother of us all. Coming from the birthplace, coming from the created place, coming from the manifested place. There's a certain man that was coming from the created heavenly place to Jericho. Are you with me now? See, you thought it was just somebody that just sinned so bad and the devil tore him up. Honey, it was much more than that. I got news for you. The devil don't tear you up near as much as you think he does. Okay, we won't go there yet. We'll wait a couple of weeks. The certain man was coming from Jerusalem to Jericho, from the heavenly place to Jericho. And it's important that we must trace our lineage of inheritance. We must trace our organic connection to Jerusalem, to the heavenly city, which is the mother of us all. So the sons were born in heavenly Jerusalem. So if you're a son, everybody say, I'm a son. You were come from this heavenly place to Jericho. Now, funny thing about Jericho means carnal, fleshly perception inside of Canaan land. Jericho was a place inside of Canaan, the promised land on earth. Let your will be done on as it is in. And the first place that Israel had to go was Jericho. The first battle they fought was Jericho, because you got to conquer Jericho before you can go on and get your inheritance, baby. You got to conquer Jericho. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 6, verse 1, Jericho was straitly shut up because the children of Israel, and none went in, and none came out. That's what I call a stronghold, where nothing goes in. Hey, do me a favor today. Would you enlarge your doorway tonight? Enlarge your doorway of your heart for me tonight. What I mean is, you can never get in what you can't get out. Whenever you move furniture into a house, I guarantee you can get it out. Now, you may have to take the doors off and take the windows out and undo the latches and take off the hinges. But if it'll get in there, it'll surely get out. In other words, you don't build a house around something that you can never get out of you. In other words, I don't want you to know anything if you're not going to get it out of you. I don't want you to let anything in that can't get out. If it don't fit, widen your door. But we're not going to tear up the refrigerator trying to get it into your house. You must have a pathway by which we can get it in. And when you move, you can take it with you. Open your doorway of your heart tonight. And whatever comes in, I guarantee it's able to get out. And you may say, I don't know how I'm going to share this with anybody, but I guarantee if you'll just begin, whatever you receive tonight, it'll be able to come out of you. Because if it goes in, honey, it'll come out. Thank you. Jericho was a place inside the promised land. 2 Corinthians 10 says there's these strongholds. For we do not war after the flesh. But the weapons of our warfare are not, but they are to God. Not through God. Mighty to God. Pulling strongholds. Number one thing you got to pull down is strongholds. Casting down vain and bringing every thought into captivity. One, two, three. Three levels of mind warfare. And we've only just begun. Three levels of stronghold. The first stronghold that Jerusalem, that the Israelites had to conquer was Jericho. And they fought it with a battle not like any other battle. They had to march around and shut their mouth. The less you talk about your problems and march around them and consider them flattened. Y'all ain't ready. There's strongholds in the church. They've been in church all their life and they still have strongholds. That's okay, baby. But now's the time we're going to cross over and get into them strongholds. We're going to get to those things that can, nothing goes in, nothing comes out. I just don't believe that. Open your door of your heart. Don't say it ain't God. Just say it ain't what you are. It ain't Baptist. Amen. I'm going to try to teach. The fleshly carnal perception was Jericho. There was a man, certain man, coming from Jerusalem to Jericho, coming from the heavenly place, coming to Jericho to destroy the fleshly carnal perception. That was his purpose. That was his purpose. His purpose was, I'm leaving my heavenly place. I'm going into my promised land. I'm going to destroy Jericho so that we can all possess our land. Coming from Jerusalem to Jericho. John 10, let's look at this. John 10, verse 1. Let me suggest to you that the certain man in this story is Adam. Adam was left his heavenly dimension. And the purpose of God was always to send him out of the Garden of Eden anyway. There was already people down here. Oh, come on, let's put on your gear, open up your oxygen tank, you're going to die down here. God's intention was to have an unlimited man and place him into limitation so that he could overcome limitations, swallow it up, and make it all unlimited through his limitedness. He give you an overcoming spirit, and you are able, you are more than a conqueror through him that loved you. And as long as you stay in his love, you are always more than a conqueror. No matter what comes your way, you're more than that. No matter what bill you have to pay, you're more than that. No matter who hates you, you're more than that. You are more than a conqueror. What you don't know is God sends problems your way so you can overcome it. Because in you is the ability to overcome. And how are you going to know how to overcome if you don't have something to overcome? And we went through the whole 60-fold, everybody telling you, you ain't got to overcome nothing. They lied to you, honey. They lied to you. You still had to go through it. Without exception, if you suffer with him, you shall reign with him. You can name it, claim it, write it on your refrigerator, put a picture. There was this one couple I know in Dallas. I won't tell you their name, but we went to their house, and they had those BMW little pictures out of the magazine, and they had put shrunk their pictures down and put them inside the car. Let me suggest to you that faith isn't necessarily believing for things. Faith is not necessarily suggesting believing for things. But faith, it is through. Everybody say through. Through faith we do this. Through faith we endure. Through, in other words, faith is for going through something. You need faith in the wilderness, baby. You need faith when there's nothing going on. You need faith in God. It takes more faith to have faith when there is no need for faith. God Almighty, it takes more faith in the wilderness when there's, I need some money, when there's nothing going on. When there's nothing going on, it is through faith. We have access through faith, by faith. Thanks. I'm going to sow this in a minute. And you know what that'll be? Twice sown seed. Can I chase a rabbit for a minute? Twice sown seed. Other words, let me help you here. The Bible says the Levites used to take tithes from the people. They lived off those tithes. Sorry, if you don't like it, take it up with God. He made it that way because he wanted you connected to his work. And if you can't give to his work, your heart can never be connected. And to the level that you are into it with your support is the level that you're going to get from it, is the level of the openness that you are. And you give a 30-cent offering, you're getting a 30-cent revelation. Because where your heart is, your treasure is. And so what happens is they would bring the tithes to the Levites. Now watch this. Everyone did it. And the Levites, the tribe of Levites, the priests, would bring the tenth of the tenth and lift it up and heave it to the Lord. Very important that they heaved it to the Lord. I'm going to tell you why people don't like the tithing, because it don't work. Do you know why? Because they were faithful to give it. But the priesthood were not faithful to lift it up. You always sow up. You always sow up. And what we do in America, when we're growing up preaching, we didn't know who to tithe to. So you just tithe back to the church and you got back more. You are corrupting the seed. Come on, open your ears. Those preachers are corrupting the seed by sowing back into the very ministry that they're getting the harvest from. That's right. I'm telling you by the Spirit. I'm telling you why your offerings never seem to work. Because you're giving it to a place that wasn't heaving it up. And you need to have a priesthood that's going to heave it up. And it's so much that in the rabbinical times, that if the priest would offer the offering a tenth of the tenth up, if they would give a tenth of all the tenth up and heave it up, that God would account all your tenth as 100. God would count your tenth as 100%. Because that is his portion. So a tenth of your portion is 100% of God's. I got to take that one. A tenth of yours is 100 to God if the priesthood will lift it up. But if the priest will hoard it up and try to pay bills with it, try to help the evangelist out with it. God is the one that said the tithe was holy. I didn't say it was. He said, because he wanted to test our heart with what we do with it. You always sow up. And if you can't find nobody up that real, then you realize you're not connected to nobody. He's calling. Let me help you here. Are we doing okay? I know this is not lovey-touchy-feely. But I want to help you. I want to help you, okay? If that priest would give that heave offering, then your tenth would be counted as 100%. What was I saying? Oh, I know. So Dave gives me seed. It's sown. So if I give all that seed back, it's twice sown seed. So I have purified the seed again. The problem in America, we don't have pure seed. It's corrupted seed. We're giving it, and the ministry and the priesthood didn't heave it up, and they tried to re-sow what was sown into their own rank. You understand what I'm saying? All right, thank you. And he fell amongst thieves. He was on the way from the heavenly place to Jericho, and he fell amongst thieves. John 10:1. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that enters not by the door of the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. Are you ready? Verse 3. To him the porter opes, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes out before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice, because a stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Verse 8. All, everybody say all. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. Oh, Lord. The sheep did not hear them. We was in their fold, but we wasn't hearing them.
Amen. Amen.
They trapped us, hooked us, locked us up, but we wasn't hearing them. All that came before me were thieves and robbers. Verse 10, for the thief comes not but to steal and kill. But I am come that they may have life. I'm getting ready because this is going to be good. I am come that they may have life, that they may have it more abundantly. Can I help you here? You've been taught all your life that the devil was the thief. But the Bible never says the devil is the thief in John 10. But the devil's not trying to get into the sheepfold. I'm doing okay. It's everybody. You know what? But just put your seatbelt on, put your tray up in the up lock right position, cause we finna take off. Pull your seat up, put your tray up, fasten your seatbelt, cause this baby's fixing to take off. Obviously, yes, the devil's a thief, but I don't know what he wants of yours. The only thing he would want is your body. He don't want your stuff. What's he going to do with it? Well, the devil stole my car. Did he? Is he driving it? What happened was you didn't make the payments. And you said you would, and the bank took it back because it belongs to them. But it makes you feel better to say the devil took it. Listen to me. I've had two cars taken from me. I'm talking to myself. I'm not all squeaky clean. We were trying to go down, when we got married, we were trying to go down and buy a freezer. I had a half a beef given to me. Tried to buy a freezer for $250. I had $175. I said, can I get credit on $85? No. So I'm telling you, if you're willing to accept your part of the deal, God will pull you through. He will walk you through the steps to restore everything back to you. Because a good name is better than great riches. God wants you to have a good name. He wants you to be the loaner instead of the borrower. But somewhere you got to cut up all your credit cards and just get debit cards and say, if we can't pay for it, we can't get it. Now, come on, I'm doing okay now. It ain't pretty, you know what? But God's going to see us through. And it ain't over till it's over. And it ain't over yet, baby. God is able. God is able. God is able to pull us through. But nowhere in John 10 does it say that the devil is the thief. Because it says, listen to me, it says the thieves are the ones that want to get in by some other way. You're not listening to me. A thief and a robber is the one that wants to get in some other way. Who wants to get into the kingdom by some other way, by some other plan, some other way, some other system. There must be another system other than just believing God, other than just believing who he says I am. There must be another way than just going through the door and accepting who he made me. There must be another. Oh, you can find another way. There's a million ways. But there's only one way. He is the way. It doesn't say, I'm taking my time, you know, because I'm purposing my heart to preach this in 2 weeks, because I could give you the whole thing and you just go right over your head. But nowhere does it say the devil was the thief. And you've been taught that all your life. Here we go again. Repent. Change your thinking. For one moment of time, change your thinking. Let's play the what if game. What if the devil isn't the thief in this story? What if? What if? He fell amongst thieves. I believe that Adam was the thief. Adam was the thief because he wanted to get in some other way. Because he took the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he want to get into Jericho some other way. Look at this tree. If you just eat this tree, you'll be like God. If you just eat this tree, you'll know good from evil. You'll be like him. But God actually said, man has become as one of us. It's a mystery. Man is becoming one of us. God's intention was to kick him out of that garden. But he wanted to send him out as a glorified man. And let me tell you, let me just help you here. God didn't curse Adam. God did not curse Adam. God did not curse Adam. He cursed the ground. God will love you so much that he'll curse the work of your hands to get you to come back to him. Because whom he has called, he has chosen. And whom he's chosen, he's justified. Whom he justified, he shall also glorify. And he will curse the ground for your sake. And thorns and thistles shall it bring forth until you come to yourself and say, it must be better back in my father's house. I'm going to go back to whence I came. I'm going to go back from where I came from. It's got to be better than this, baby. God did not curse Adam. Matter of fact, you are cursed with a curse when you do something, but he didn't do it. You did it. You did it to yourself. He says, you have robbed me in tithes and offerings. Therefore, you are cursed with a curse. He didn't do it. You did it. You allowed the devil to come in there and do it. You opened the door wide open. Let him do it. You did it. Because in your hands is the destiny of God. God's already done what God's going to do. It is finished. It is finished. It's finished. I asked the Lord this. in a real deep moment, I said, what does that mean? It is finished. What did you come? What does that mean? He says, look at in the Bible, everything I came and set out to do, I did it. What does it's finished mean? It means everything he came to do, he already did it. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. It is finished. He did it. He did it. Hallelujah. He did it. Go. Oh. Oh. It's finished. What else did he come to do? I am come to seek and to save that which lost. It's finished. All the lost are found, baby. They're found, baby. He has come to seek and save that which is lost. And the Bible says the Father loses nothing. It's finished. Instead of praying for them to get saved, just say, I thank you, they're saved, God. Woo! I thank you, they're saved. I thank you, they're sanctified, filled with the Spirit, speaking in tongues, casting out devils. I thank you, Lord, you finished work. Because the good work that he started, he's able to finish it. Colossians says you are complete. You are finished in him. And as long, so the battle isn't trying to bind up devils. The battle is staying in him. Because as long as I stay in him, I'm finished. As long as I stay in him, I'm complete. I'm full of God. Jesus tried to tell you. You try too hard to be Christians. To try too hard to become churchites. Try too hard to win people to Jesus. He didn't say go win everybody. He said abide in me. And if you can just stay in me, wherever I am, I got to be there. If abide in me and my words abide in you, not these words, these words. Then you shall ask whatever you will, it shall be done of you by my Father which is in heaven. Then he says, you have not chosen me. So get over yourself. He didn't pick you because you were mighty. He didn't pick you because you could speak. He didn't pick you because you were smart. He picked you because you were weak. You were foolish. You were base. And you were despised. And nobody wanted you. And God is near to those who nobody wants. God is near to those who nobody wants. Oh, man. Oh, baby. Baby, baby, baby. I was at a church, in that little bitty church. See, I thought I forgot the story. I was in that little bitty church, and I shared with them one time about buying the truth. There was no room for one person to move. They sit all the young people on the floor as close as they can get them. It's a marvelous sight. So while I was preaching, what they did was just wadded up money. We had over $500 thrown at us. And I used to travel with a lot of people. It'd take 10 hotel rooms to put us all up. So I just gave them all the money for putting up with me for so long. It's finished. See, inside of you is the propensity to become a thief. A thief takes what ain't belonging to him. Come on, let's go somewhere. Y'all ready?
Yeah.
A thief takes what doesn't belong to him. Jesus said, remember, I've taken your sins as far as the east. I've removed your transgression. I've taken your chastisement of your peace. If you take it back, you're a thief. A thief breaks in with it don't belong to him. It takes what don't belong to him. Let me tell you, he already paid for your sins and you can't get them back. You'll have to break in and take them to get them back, but they don't belong to you. He paid for them in full, baby. In full. They are his, not yours. If you continually, you're a thief. They don't belong to you. Paul says, I judge no man. Then he says, not even myself. You know what your problem is? You go around the day, all day long, wondering how you're doing. And if you do that, you'll never be good enough. You got to quit worrying how you're doing and just consider who you are. And worry about being and quit worrying about doing. Paul says, I judge not even my own self. So if you came up to Apostle Paul and said, how you doing, Apostle? He'd say, I don't know. I'm not allowed to judge even my own self. You'll mess it up. He has given all judgment to the Son. He has given all judgment, John 5, to the Son. And the Bible says the Son judged no man. He took this marvelous responsibility to judge you because he lived you, but because he lived you perfectly, he condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned sin in the flesh. He took it away. He took away the judgment so the life you could live could be his life. Last time I checked, he made a reconciliation between you and him. Last time I checked, he made a covenant with you. He made an exchange. He said, I want to take your dirty rags and give you my righteousness, give you my royalty. Y'all need to hear this. It's coming out of me. It's coming out deep. Deep is calling unto deep. You need to hear this. You need to hear this, because you ain't going to hear it at Sunday school. You're not going to read it in a Bible bookstore, but it's still true. And as you know this to be true, that truth will set you free. Set you free from what? Free from yourself. Free from your sin. Free from your mindset. Free from your religion. Free from your bondage. Free from everything. Oh, set us free, God. Set us free. Set us free. Oh. Hallelujah. No more thieves. No more thief. It don't belong to you, no way. Let's be honest. If he finished the work and he came to seek and save that was lost and he came to take away your sins, do you think he did it or do you think he did not? Then why are you trying to hang on to him? Let me help you here. Paul said this, Romans 7, Romans 5. Sin did exist without the law. But where there is no law, sin is not imputed unto them. Other words, sin don't count. Sin is still sin, but sin don't count when there ain't no law. And if I can get the law away from you, then your sin don't count anymore. Oh, come on. Let's read the Bible one time. Let's read the Bible sometime. Let me help you. I'm in a vein here. I'm in a gold vein. You know, it's just like a river. I'm in a vein. Let me hear you. Let me help you. Paul said this in Romans 7. There's things that I don't want to do, but I wind up doing them. The true issue of sin is not what you did, but why you did it. It never was about what you're doing. It's always been about the heart. Religion always makes it into the what. Jesus always brings it back to why. Paul says, I always find myself doing what I don't really want to do. And the things that I really want to do, I can't find the strength to do it. And he wrestled with this problem for years and years and years. You're not alone, baby. You're not alone. It takes a revelation by God, by his spirit, to awaken you to this. When you get sick and tired of being sick and tired and of failing and of failing and of failing, you just got to say one day, there must be a better way. And he says, yeah, baby, it's my way. Paul says, so I therefore judge that if I do what I don't want to do, what I really don't want to be doing, then it's no longer me doing it. It's no longer me doing it. You know what he just did? He just separated you from this realm. If I can separate you from this realm, I make you unlimited. Let me take it another level. Can I take it another level? Okay, if you insist. The Bible says it's not that which goes into the man that defiles him. The church is always straining at gnats, swallowing camels. The church is always trying to propagate a cause that God's not worried about. We are the only country, America is the only country where young people are alcoholics. I mean, on this level. You're going to have them in every country, but I mean, they're multiplied in America. Do you know why? Because the church preached against it for so long. They incited the passions of the flesh. The law will make you sin. But when sin is not wrong, it's no fun. When it's no longer wrong like you thought it was wrong, then it's no fun no more. Then you begin to leave it. Not because you have to, but because you want to. But it's that which comes out of the man that defiles. What comes out? The very first thing he said, adultery. Evil thoughts. Murders. It all happens in here. You can't do anything if you didn't think about it first. Are we doing okay? I'm doing great. I'm fell amongst thieves. A certain man fell amongst thieves. Amen. I'm getting ready because you're going to like this. A certain man fell amongst thieves. And they wounded him. And they stripped him of his raiment. And they left him half dead. They left him half dead. And there were two malefactors with Jesus to be put to death. And when they were came to the place called Calvary, they were crucified with him. One on the right, one on the left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them. I got to get started. Father, forgive these two. Father, forgive them. Because they don't know what they're doing. Which implies or means or suggests that maybe they should have known what they were supposed to be doing. You never knew what you were supposed to do. You were grafted in.
You weren't the first choice. You were grafted in, and they were cut off so that you could be grafted in. People run around trying to be Jews. You're not even born in Israel.
That drives me crazy. But anyway,
he's hanging on that cross between two malefactors, two thieves. Thieves who tried to get in some other way, but they got caught. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing.
And they cast his, took his raiment, just like they did the certain man. I'll just let you dig that out. And the people stood and cursed him, said, save yourself. If he is the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers mocked him. If you are the king, save yourself. When you're finally on the cross, church, that's when people try to get you to come down. People tell you to quit. When you're really getting somewhere in God, that's when they come and tell you, come down. If you would just come down, I'll believe it. If you would just come down, I will believe this is God. When you're on your cross, people want you to come down because you're making atonement for them. Things about to change for them. Something's about to happen for them. And if we suffer for them, they will reign with us. And we can save them by suffering for them. And say, don't mind me, baby. I'm just suffering for you, and I'm not going to come down from here. If you just quit going to that church, then I'll believe God. Oh, no, 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 no. Don't come down, baby, because you're just now on there. When people start trying to pull you out, pull you down, and pull you away, then you know that you're in the right place. Then you know you're on the cross. Then you know you're one step away from the glory. So many times we come down off that cross. But I beg you in Jesus' name to stay on it. Because the ones that hang you and tell you to come down, if you die there, they'll strike their breast and say, surely this was the Son of God. There's a Son. Sons have marks of suffering. Sons have marks of suffering. Paul called them marks of ownership. See, you're baptized with water, and the outward sign is the water, but the inward sign is a new life. But you're dead, buried, resurrected with him. Then you got filled with the Holy Spirit, and the outward sign was that you began to speak in tongues. You began to move in power and supernatural gifts and revelation. And then the next level was you should be baptized with fire. And the outward sign is the marks of suffering, which are marks of ownership of him. That's why Jesus came back to Thomas and said, look and see, it is me. There's marks of sonship all over me. There's marks of suffering all over me. You can't be a son and not suffer, baby. You can't be a son and not suffer. You can't be a son and not be misunderstood and misrepresented and lied about and cheat about it and spit on and rejected and neglected and resisted. You can't be a son, but rejoice in these marks that you belong to him. You belong to him. Think it not strange concerning these fiery trials, which are try you as though something strange happened to you. When a fiery trial comes, you should say, all right, baby, all right, all right, all right, all right, all right. I'm fixing to see Jesus like I never seen Jesus. I'm fixing to get a touch from him like I never got touched by him. I'm fixing to hear his voice. Fell amongst thieves. The biggest thief was his own Adam. The biggest thief was his own mind. They wounded him.
The wound to me has always meant in the head. They wounded him in his head. And by getting to your mind, they can steal your raiment. He's coming to Jericho to attack the carnal perception. And as he was going there, he ate the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he could no longer finish that task because he was afraid and he was naked. What happened? His raiment got taken from him. Where are you, Adam? He wasn't asking where you at in the natural. He's asking, where's your heart? He said, I heard your voice. I love God, because every dead man shall hear his voice. John chapter 5, don't you forget this. John 5, Jesus said, red letter, that even the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of Man. Even the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of Man. Go ahead and let them die, baby, because even if they die, they still have opportunity to hear. Because the dead shall hear the voice. And it ain't over till it's over. The dead shall hear the voice. You know any dead people? You know any dead people? They're going to hear the voice of the Son of Man, because John chapter 5 says so, and I believe it. That settles it. Fell amongst thieves. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And at the same time, God judged the world and redeemed the world at the same time. In one moment of time. And there was one thief on one side that said, save yourself and me. And the other thief on the other side, he said, shut your mouth, man. We did this. It was our fault. It was my fault. Jesus didn't die for you. He died for Adam. Because you are in Adam. The word Adam means mankind. Well, if I was the only one, no. Get that out of your mind. You're never were the only one. And you'll never be the only one. You're not the Lone Ranger. And you don't have Tonto. So get over it. Makes for great sermons, but terrible theology. The devil was on his one side hanging up. And he said, save yourself and me. And the voice of the stranger says, save yourself. Come out for yourself. Don't believe that stuff for yourself. The voice of the devil says, save yourself and me. But who was the man on the other side being crucified with Jesus? Adam was on the other side. He said, shut your mouth, devil. It was me. It was my fault. I put us here. And at the same time, he crucified and he destroyed the works of the devil on one side, and he resurrected mankind on the other side in one blow, in one moment, in one place in time. He redeemed mankind. Oh, come on, give him praise up in here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He told Adam, today you will be with me in paradise. Hallelujah. Today, everybody say today. 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 We are in Adam and we are in paradise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. All he had to say was, Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me. No big flashy prayer. No big thing. I did it. I got myself in this mess. But all I'm saying is, remember me. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Where's paradise? It's the Garden of Eden. It's the place where he started. And we're all going back to where we came from. Sit down, I'm almost done. You know what? There's people can hear this message who are not sitting in these chairs. It goes out into the spiritual airwaves. They can hear it. That's why we need to be here and make sure it comes out the way that they can hear it. And when he tried to come from the heavenly place to the organic place, he fell amongst thieves, which was the carnal mind. It doesn't say that it was the devil. The thief come to rob and kill and destroy, because the carnal mind is enmity with God. Neither can he know him. The carnal mind is a certain death. Our greatest enemy is our propensity to be carnally minded. Carnally minded means to mix together spiritual things with fleshly things. Carnally minded means I can take spiritual things, but I can figure them out in my fleshly ability. I've given you a lot of things tonight, and your carnal, your mind can't grab them. But your spirit deep inside is saying, I know this is right. I never heard it, but it makes sense to me. When you leave here over the week, if you consider, it would be very easy to listen to the voice of the stranger. And the voice of the stranger will tell you, that's crazy. But I want you to remember how you feel tonight. The witness that you have inside, that this is true. They wounded him, which means to pound and flatten. They stripped him of his raiment, and they left him half dead. In the Bible, in our life, the closest place to death that we get each and every day is when we're asleep. And when you become carnally minded, wounded in your mind and your perception, you get stripped of your raiment. You no longer see yourself how you really are. You'll fall asleep, or what we call being half dead. Adam was left half dead. In other words, we were alive. And we go to work every day. But we weren't awake on the inside. See, we weren't dead spiritually because a spirit can't die. But there was a veil over our spiritual eyes. And all people did is preach the law. And Corinthians says, every time the law is preached, there's a veil put on their eyes. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Remember that scripture? Right before it, it says, every time that the law is preached, I think it's Corinthians 3:17. When the law is preached, a veil is put over their eyes. And while we were in the law, while we're in legalism, while we're in bondage, even though our spirit man could never die, we couldn't see it. It couldn't come out from beyond the veil. But it says, thanks be to God for the glorious liberty. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty to pull that veil back and see who you really are. If you really could see who you really were, you really wouldn't worry what you're going through. I love you so much. I want to stop because next week's going to be just as good. Talking about the Good Samaritan.